Good day and welcome to the Fondul Proprietatea Q3 2019 results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marius Dan. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome everyone to our conference call to discuss the third quarter 2019 results and the October 2019 net asset value development. Johan Meyer, CEO of Franklin Templeton Investment Management, Bucharest Branch, as investment manager of Fondul Proprietatea, Cătălin Cadaru, head of financial reporting, and I are pleased to host today's call. The third quarter 2019 results report can be found on the fund's website in the investor relations section, and the presentation that we will be discussing was sent out to you earlier today. The slides are also available on our website at www.fondulproprietatea.ro in the results presentation section. After the presentation, we will have a 30-minute Q&A session, and as a reminder, the conference call is being recorded. The recording will be available on the fund's website after the call. That being the agenda, I now turn to Johan to start off with the presentation.
Thanks, Marius, and good afternoon, everyone, and good morning to those joining us from the United States and Canada. I'm pleased to share with you today the most important highlights of the first 9 months of the year, as well as the NAV figures for the end of October 2019. I'd like to start with slide 2 of the presentation, where we highlight the key facts about the fund. At the end of October, the fund's NAV was 10.7 billion RON, or equivalent to $2.5 billion, and the NAV per share reached 1.5579 RON per share, over 10% higher compared to the 31 December 2018 NAV. Therefore, the discount to NAV as of yesterday's close was 24.08% on the Bucharest Stock Exchange and 22.48% on the London Stock Exchange. On the right-hand side, you can see the evolution of the fund's adjusted share price and discount since the fund's listing in January 2011. We're glad to see the reversal from the end of last year and the strong performance this year. On slide 3, we show the fund's shareholder structure as of 3 October 2019. On 15 October, the cancellation of the 1.48 billion shares bought back during the ninth buyback program was finalized through the registration of the fund's subscribed share capital increase with the trade registry. The most significant change to be noted is the increase of the percentage held by remaining institutionals to 26.9% as of the end of October 2019. The treasury shares held at the end of October are the shares bought back so far during the 10th buyback program, including the tender offer that was finalized in August. The cancellation of the total shares that will be bought back during this program will be subject to shareholders' approval during the annual shareholder meeting in April 2020. Moving on to slide 4, we show a summary of the NAV, share price, and GDR performance since 2011, as well as the evolution of the fund's average annual discount since its listing on the Bucharest Stock Exchange. The net asset value total return in the first 9 months of the year was 17.8%. The total return for the local shares was 34.8%, while the total return for the GDRs was 28.6%. Year-to-date, the NAV total return was 17.9%, while the total return for local shares was 38.8% and 29.5% for the GDRs. The discount level, though it continued to decrease this year, remains excessively high in our view, and our efforts to reduce it significantly below the current level will continue as always. Slide 5 and 6, we show the contributors to the fund's NAV performance in the third quarter and for the first 9 months of the year. The main performance in the third quarter were the listed companies OMV Petrom and Nuclear Electrica, and Romero, which performed very well following the drop registered at the end of last year, and the unlisted Salrom as a result of the additional dividends paid by the company in the third quarter of the year. Total NAV performance during the third quarter was 3%. In the first 9 months of the year, the top performers were the unlisted companies Hidroelectrica, Bucharest Airports, and Engie, following the update of the independent valuation reports for these companies, given the strong operational and financial performance, as well as the dividends paid this year. Also among the top performers are OMV Petrom and Nuclear Electrica, while the main detractor was Aro, as the company's share price was impacted by the soft aluminium and high electricity prices. Total NAV performance during the nine-month period was 10.5%. In the next section, we would like to give an update on the fund's portfolio. Moving on to slide 8, we show the portfolio structure as of the end of October. 70% in unlisted companies, 27% in listed equities, and 3% in net cash and receivables. The cash position at the end of the month was $69.8 million. In the next slide, 9, we show the listed versus unlisted split of the fund's portfolio. The largest listed company remains OMV Petrom, while Hidroelectrica remains the largest individual holding. I would like to highlight that we also published today the fund's detailed statement of investments as of 30 September 2019, which is available on the fund's website in the investment section. On slide 10, we present the top 10 portfolio companies as of 31 October 2019, representing now 93% of the fund's NAV, while Hidroelectrica, OMV, Petrom, and Bucharest Airports represent over 69% of the fund's NAV. Moving on to slide 9, we show a summary of the 9-month preliminary financial results for some of the main portfolio companies, with mixed evolutions during the period, and I will elaborate more for the first three companies in the following slides. The rise in power prices had a negative impact on ALRO, which coupled with the weaker aluminium prices led to a loss of 110 million RON registered in the 9-month period ended September 2019. On slide 12, we provide the latest developments on Hidroelectrica. Net profit was 1.3 billion RON, a 21.5% decrease compared to the same period last year, mainly due to one-off fiscal obligations paid during the second quarter. Turnover increased to 3.3 billion RON compared to 3.2 billion in the same period of last year, helped by the higher realized electricity prices, while volume of electricity sold declined by around 10% year-on-year. The energy delivered from own sources was down 13% compared to the 9-month period of 2018 to 12 terawatt-hours, determined by a more prudent utilization of the water in the reservoirs in the context of winter weather and uncertainties that were introduced due to the Emergency Ordinance 114, as well as lower water flows on the interior rivers. On slide 13, we present the main updates on OMV Petrom, the fund's second largest holding. The company reported strong results for the first 9 months of the year. Sales to external customers reached 18.2 billion RON in the first 9 months, approximately 13% higher compared to the same period in the previous year, supported mainly by an 11% increase of the volume of refined products sold. The net profit was 3.5% higher at 2.76 billion RON, despite a decrease in production for both oil and gas, but supported by an increase of almost 19% of the refinery utilization. Slide 14, we show the main updates on Bucharest airports for the first 9 months of the year. Passenger traffic increased by almost 7% compared to the same period of the previous year, up to 11.2 million passengers. Operating revenues also increased over 7% to 786 million RON, while net income shows an estimated 4% decrease for the 9-month period compared to 2018 due to higher personnel expenses. On slide 15, we present an update on the liberalization of the electricity market. On the 8th of November, ANRE issued for public consultation a draft order regarding the regulated electricity market re-liberalization in order to revise ANRE order number 10 of February 2019. According to the draft, the regulated market would cover up to 60% of households' consumption during the first half of 2020, that is, 40% of household consumption during the second half of 2020, and 20% of household consumption during the first half of 2021. The methodology follows a cost-plus approach of 5%. Hidroelectrica and Nuclearelectrica could be required to deliver up to 40% of their average annual production in the first half of 2020. Moving on to the corporate action section, I would like to pass the floor back to Marius.
Thank you, Johan. On slide 17, we outlined the fund's distributions. Since we started managing the fund for 2019, we included the dividend distribution, which was made in July, as well as the tender offer finalized in August, while the daily buybacks include the amount spent on share repurchases until the 8th of November, bringing the total amount spent this year to around 1.05 billion, and that number will continue to increase given that we're active in the market, buying back shares every single day, up to 25% of the daily trading volume based on the average volume for the last 20 trading days. On slide 18, we outline the details of the fund's ongoing and future buyback programs. During today's shareholder meeting, the fund's shareholders approved the 11th buyback program of 800 million shares to be executed throughout 2020. And, of course, we would like to accelerate the share repurchases through further tender offers depending on our cash availability. But we have several disposals in the pipeline that could fund this going into 2020. For the 11th buyback program approved today, we will be starting the selection process for the brokers that will be supporting the execution of this particular buyback program. On slide 19, we present the details of the completed buyback program. So far, we've executed nine buybacks in which we've repurchased approximately 6.16 billion shares, which were also canceled since we took over the management of the fund, and this represents around 45% of the fund's issued share capital as of end of January 2011, the month in which we listed the fund on the Bucharest Stock Exchange. On the next slide, 20, we show a summary of the total dividend income received from the portfolio companies in the last 7 years. The special dividend so far received in 2019 of roughly 40 million refer to the dividends paid by portfolio companies from other sources than the net profit. The main source is ARO, who paid a special dividend, which was approved at the end of 2018, but paid at the beginning of 2019. And it was recorded according to the fund's policy as a special dividend. On a per-share basis, the total dividend income received by the fund of roughly 713.5 million represent a record high level of dividend income that will be distributed out to the fund shareholders in 2020. And as 2019 progresses, it gives us even more visibility to the cash flow that we will be receiving as dividends from portfolio companies throughout next year that would be paid out to our shareholders going into 2021. But of course, this number does not include any special dividends that we could be receiving from the fund's state-owned companies. And that takes us to slide 21, where we present this list of potential additional dividends that we could receive this year. We've already requested special dividends from Hidroelectrica, Nuclear Electrica, and Bucharest Airport. The special dividends requested represent approximately 1.91 billion RON in total, out of which 340 million would be received by the fund. But first, we need this this special dividends to be approved by the company's shareholders, and you have on the right-hand side the dates of the shareholder meetings. Bucharest Airport are scheduled to have the shareholder meeting on the 9th of December, followed by Hidroelectrica on the 17th, and then Nuclear Electrica on the 19th of December. And our intention, of course, is to use the special dividends to pass them through to shareholders, most likely through funding a tender offer in accordance with the fund's distribution policy. The third quarter financial results are presented on slides 23 and 24, and I would like to invite Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, to comment.
Thank you, Marius. Hello. On the first slide, we can see the summary of financial position of the fund for the 30th of September 2019. And there are two comments I would like to make. In terms of the portfolio development, we can see an increase by approximately 1 billion. That was driven mainly by the share price evolution of Petrom and the revaluation of Hidroelectrica, while the cash position of the fund compared relatively stable to last year, and this is due to the fact that the dividend collected and the proceeds from disposal were netted off by the dividend distribution performed by the fund and the buybacks during the period, including the tender offer settled during August. If we move on to the next slide, we can see that the fund registered an unaudited profit of approximately 1.9 billion as at the end of September, and the main driver for the profit were the changes in fair value of the portfolio, again coming from Petrom and Hidroelectrica, and the dividend income of approximately 723 million RON. Again, the biggest amount coming from Hidroelectrica.
Thank you, Cătălin. At this point, we would like to open it up for any questions that you may have.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will now take our first question from Lucian Abeluscu from IPOPEMA Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello everyone, and thank you for the presentation. Actually, for the moment, one question from my side. We all saw the comments from the new government related to the potential listing of Hidroelectrica in 2020. Do you have some more color on this? Is there anything actually moving there in the direction of listing, or for the moment, just declaration?
No, I think some of the critical cornerstones have already been put in place. One of the areas that we focused on very much in the past, not only with Hidroelectrica but across the portfolio, is with the corporate governance, which means, in other words, a selection of a fully mandated board and executive team. So this was already finalized, which is of course a critical requirement for any successful IPO. So the next steps in the process would be the appointment of legal advisors, potentially equity advisors, and then finally the investment banking consortium to take the process forward. We are obviously very encouraged to see that the new government and ourselves are on the same page, and we will do whatever is necessary and within our ability to support this process to be finalized and in as short a time frame as possible.
I see. If I understand correctly, already on the shareholder meeting in December, there is some point related to this, right?
Yes, the one point is about the acquisition of legal services for the listing of the company in 2020, and the equity advisors.
No, I understand. Thank you. And is there any? I mean, does the process still involve the parliament in any way, or this can all be done by the government itself? By the
no, this because there is an existing government decision which was taken a long time ago, back in 2012, if you remember, which basically approved the listing of the company. Basically, what we need right now is either a new government decision in order to allow the government to sell a part of their stake in an IPO, as well as us, or if they move forward with the current with the existing government decision, which includes a new equity raise, then all we need is shareholders' decisions.
Okay, thank you.
We will now take our next question from Deepinder Bhatia from Bayard Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Just a quick technical question here on page 21, the potential special dividends. If these special dividends are approved, let's even say to the extent that you've indicated here on this page, what is the timing of the receipt of cash? Is it before the end of this calendar year, or is it alongside the normal dividend that is paid out by these companies in the year 2020 for the year 2019?
Depending on that, that's not 100% sure at this point in time. There is the possibility, especially for the unlisted companies, that it could be sooner, pretty much immediately after the shareholder approval. But I think for Nuclear Electrica, mm-hmm. there would be potentially a slightly longer time frame. So at least we're potentially looking at December, but probably no later than the end of January. But if approved,
and if,
the timeline will be clear.
Sure. And if they did come through in the 2019 calendar year, to the extent that some of the special dividends did come through before 2019 year end, that would then fall into the category of cash dividends that can be paid out by you or through tender offer or otherwise in some way distributed by you in the calendar 2020 with your one-year look-back approach that you have in place. Would that be correct reasoning that to the extent that the dividends are received by December 31st of this year, they will be available for potential distribution in the calendar 2020?
Yeah, that's correct, Ipana.
Okay, and then just one other quick question here on Hydroelectrica itself. We've seen electricity prices remaining firm right through till our last conversation about 3 months ago on the same call. Just curious to know how have electricity prices continued to evolve in the last 2 to 3 months. If you could throw any light on current trends, that would be great.
Yeah, it's been relatively flat over the last 3 months, so it continues to be sustained at relatively high levels compared to the past.
Okay, great. Thank you, and good luck for the rest of the year.
Thanks very much.
And as a reminder, it is star one to queue for a question. We'll now take our next question from Kaius Rapanu from BCR. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you again for a presentation that is of such quality that there is not too many dedicated questions that can be asked, only hypothetical ones. And mine is about the potential divestiture of Enel from Romania.
I beg your pardon, could you repeat the question?
If you have any color on the potential divestiture of Enel from Romania.
Ah, okay. No, we cannot. We are aware of a sales process that is currently being conducted by Enel, but we are not party to this discussion.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Reno Pent from Averon. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So the first one would be on Hydroelectrica. Maybe you could just elaborate a bit on, you know, this ideas that Hydroelectrica would merge with CEO Oltenia and potentially is interested in the distribution company assets as well. So any development on this on these subjects, and you know, has anything changed with the change in government? So would hopefully these issues be kind of scrapped, or just, you know, any comments on this?
Firstly, let me talk about the Hydroelectrica and Shell Tenya issue. This was, I would classify it almost as a throwaway comment a couple of months ago. It hasn't been repeated since. We've been very clear, and it's been repeated by, for example, the head of the Competition Council in Romania. It raises serious concerns on the legality in terms of being considered state aid. It's anti-competitive, and strategically, from the Romanian government's point of view, it would destroy value from Hydroelectrica. So the potential income tax would be affected, potential dividends that could be distributed. So aside from being legally questionable, strategically it's not a good idea. So the probability of this making any further progress is very close to zero. The other question on Hydroelectrica's expressed interest in CEZ, we take note of this. However, we've said in the past publicly that in our view, any process related to CEZ would be value dilutive for shareholders, considering the difference in the returns that are generated by Hydroelectrica and the CEZ assets. And furthermore, any potential acquisition process would place serious question marks on the listing process. So ideally, the company should just move forward with the listing, and this is really the angle that we are pursuing.
Yeah, hopefully this is true. Then maybe you could comment a bit on CEO Tenya as well. I mean, I understand it's valued at zero in your portfolio, but I understand the former energy minister had sent some kind of subsidy plan for the company just to kind of sustain it, and I understand the importance of it in Romanian energy sector, but how will this company keep on performing in a sense?
Yes, it is valued at zero in our NAV. I think we've identified the financial pressures that the company is facing much earlier on, and we've had numerous discussions with the Ministry of Energy and with the board and the executive team over recent years. The issue that the company is facing is, to a large extent related to the price of the CO2 certificates, which has led to considerable and sustained losses at a net income level. The issue here is as well that the company has not completed a serious restructuring program, in that it still continues to be overstaffed to a very large extent, being one of the largest employers in Romania, leading to significant inefficiency at the operating level as well. Yes, it is critical in the context of overall electricity supply, but going back to previous comments on any combination of Hidroelectrica and Cheltenia, this does not solve the issue. What is required is, again, from first principles, independent board and the executive team that is empowered to take the necessary steps to restructure the company in order to put it on a path of sustainable profitability. So that really is the absolute requirement. In terms of the potential subsidy, the proposal there was that the cost of the CO2 certificates be passed on to the end users, which would solve the issue, but then it would have to also be cleared at European level. It's not a decision that Romania can take individually. Otherwise, it raises the risk again of state aid questions. So it is something that needs to be cleared with the European authorities.
All right. So just maybe you could kind of just comment on this, that for sure Fondul will not be putting down any capital just to keep the company running. So this is for sure not the case, right?
Yep. Yeah. Look, right. For any investment, we need to see a sustainable business plan, and quite frankly, I think the money would be better utilized in our discount control mechanism. We don't expect us to put any significant amounts of money into jail tenure.
Great. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you.
And just as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please signal now by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad and ensure your mute function is switched off. It appears there are no further questions, so I'd like to hand the call back to our hosts for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay. Thank you, Anna and Catalina, and thanks again, everyone, for your time today. If you have any additional questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Have a great weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.